Good morning and welcome to our worship service where we come and rally around a purpose to love God more. In the past couple of weeks, we have been talking about how we can love God and how that love language of God translates into our lives. And I really invite you to sit back and really see how this word sinks into your lives, of how important loving God is and how that fills us up. By learning God's love language, we are in fact get to learn how much God loves us. And that love fills us up. And that love tank motivates us to love God more and to love others as well. And once we do that, what happens is, like John 3:13, verse 35 says, By us loving God and by us loving others, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have loved one another. So let us really think about that, that you will really love God more. And if you have missed us in the past couple of weeks, I welcome you to come and join us in our recorded sermons that is uploaded on Facebook and YouTube. And I also want to encourage you to continue to pray and see how God will grow us through these sermon series. Let us have a time and a moment of prayer before we share the word of God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love poured out into our lives. Let us respond to this love by loving you and loving others more. May that love become a testimony to this world of our commitment to follow you more as we explore how reading your word is essential in our lives. May you continue to speak to your people through your servant. May the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be worthy only in your sight. And I ask that you will work in us as your word is shared. We thank you and pray this all in your precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last Friday, our family was invited to Andy and Judy Thornton's house. And out of the blue, my son, Peter, asked this question. Miss Judy, did God talk to you today? What a bold question. But in order to understand why he asked this question, I just have to tell you a little bit more about the background. We were enjoying that beautiful Friday, but before that, on Friday, what happens in our house is the kids get to watch TV as much as they can. So it is their day to catch up with their TV, absent of TV during the week, and they were watching through the favorite TV series that they have. And we had a time to get there to the Thorne's house, so what do we have to do? We have to tell them to stop watching TV, get dressed, so we can go to this invitation. And Peter just didn't like it. So he started to act out, and he wanted to find a reason why he didn't want to go to and attend that dinner. And that this was his reason. I don't want to eat American food for dinner. I ate American food for breakfast and lunch, and this should be a time where I eat some Korean food. That was his reason of not going, and what do we have to do if your kid are acting like that? I'm not going to share or disclose the details of how we dragged him into the car and went to the Thornton's house. But when we got there, it was a beautiful day, beautiful dinner at the back porch, and a fabulous hamburger. But something that had added on to that was Judy went to Kroger and saw kimchi, which is a side dish of a Korean side dish that is displayed in Kroger. She bought one of the bottles and placed it right next to our hamburger. And Peter enjoyed the fact that there was some Korean food on the table. And he thought, in his mind, God had listened to his prayer that he didn't want to eat American food, and he wanted some Korean food. And God spoke to Judy to prepare that. And that was why he said, Miss Judy, did God talk to you today? I believe that God talks to us every single day. And when God talks to us, God invites us to become a tool and a blessing to others. But what happens is, So many times, we get distracted by this world. We get distracted by the busyness. We are not able to listen to what God says. And there are many reasons. Just because of our busyness, yes. And just because the world is so fast and the world actually does not want us to listen to God's word, yes. But there's another factor into this. Why we do not know God's voice and we do not follow God's will. We cannot participate in God's will. It's because we might not know God's voice or language. God might be constantly calling us and talking to us, but we might not be able to catch his nuance, his accent, his intuition, and his voice. The reason, the way I want to explain is this. Before we had ever had caller ID, I believe that a lot of people had much more better manners when they called each other. When you have caller ID, you need to do this. You need to say hello, and you need to introduce who you are and ask for why you had called. Hello, my name is Sung Soo Jun. May I speak to such and such for this reason? Then the person who receives the phone call will say, yes, hi, Sung Soo. Let me get you to that person. Isn't that courtesy? Have you noticed how people answer their phone these days? Teenagers don't even answer their phone because they have caller ID and they want to screen whoever calls them. My generation, whenever we call, we say, what's up? How are you doing? Because we already know who's calling. We don't have that courtesy anymore. But even in those days, we had such manners, there was an exception. With your family members, with your father. Do you call your father and say, hello, I'm Sung Soo, your son. May I speak to you? The moment we hear our father on the other end of the line saying, hello, what do we do? Hey, dad. And whenever I say hello, my son catches my voice. My father catches my voice, and he recognizes me and says, hey, what? Hey, why did you call? Right? There was this kind of exception, even in the time of courtesy. And what happens is, God might be calling us every day to invite us into God's mission, but we might not recognize his voice. Today, I'm talking about loving God and why we need to read the scripture. And this will be my short answer why we need to read God's word. It's because only through the scripture we will be able to learn God's language and God's voice. There is a certain tone in God's words. There is a certain accent in God's words. There is a certain nuance in God's words. And we can only learn it by reading the Bible. And once we learn it, we will be able to hear God's voice more clearly and react and follow God's word much easily. And some of you might not know it because English was your first language. But for me, English was my second language. And when you are learning a second language, there is a way of learning it. You have to have this tank of language filled up in a certain point. And once it is filled up, there's this tipping point where everything becomes so natural. For us to learn English, we need to learn the words, we need to learn grammar, we need to read, and we need to listen to a lot of English dramas, movies. I like Friends, and we're just watching Friends 10 seasons over and over and again, and then that could fill up our tank. So one day, it actually happened that my wife and I didn't need any kind of subtitles whenever we watch movies. Law and Order was a challenge, but still. Fills up our tank, and we get to hear it much more clearly. And in the same way, God speaks to us constantly. But have you ever thought about this way? That we don't have that tank filled up with God's word enough that we are not to detect or understand God's way or God's voice. Scripture reading is not a law. It is not a command. It is not a burden. It is not something that we are bound to. It is something that we do as a response because we want to talk with God more. We want to listen to God's voice more. We want to be in communication with God. And in order for us, that desire is translated into learning God's word so we will be able to listen and follow it. I hope that that gives a better understanding of what the scripture is. And therefore, I turn to Psalm chapter 119, which is the grand chapter, actually the longest chapter of the whole Bible. Do you know how many verses that we have in Psalm 119? We have 176 verses. The longest verse in the whole book. Actually, what we call Psalm 119 is a Abecedarian acrostic. Oh, look at that grand word. A Abecedarian acrostic is how the psalmist, who desired God's word so much, used the 22 Hebrew alphabets and created a stanzas of 8 verses according to each alphabet. So 8 times 22 becomes 176. And each verse starts with the Hebrew alphabet that he used. So verse 1 to 8 will be started with Alpha, which is Alpha, which is the A for Hebrew. And verse 9 to 16 will be starting with Beth, which is the B for Hebrew. And it goes on for 22 times. What's significant about this psalm is out of 176 verses, 170 talks about how much the psalmist wants to follow God's word. 170 out of 176 verses talks about his desire. Why does the psalmist want to follow God's word? Because the psalmist wants to hear and talk with God better. Let me just share you another story, which I always am in burden whenever I talk about this story. When I was a youth pastor, there was a crazy thought that we had. It was 15 years ago. And then we just had this thought that, hey, how will we be able to motivate our students to memorize God's word better? And at the time, iPod was a big hit. All the teenagers wanted to get an iPod. So we said, we'll offer iPod to whoever memorizes most verses out of Psalm 119. And we just thought that students will get motivated. We gave them about a month, and on the month and the day that we had this contest, we actually had 10 students who memorized more than 100 verses, and we actually had a student who memorized the whole chapter, 176 verses. And she was ninth grade at the time, and 4 years later, after she graduated high school, and she was a freshman in NYU, I called her because we had another idea of doing it again after 4 years. So we had, this time we had two, we actually had one iPod. And then we called her, and we said, when are you coming in? We hope that you can come back and recite Psalm 119 in front of us. After 4 years, she said, yeah, I'll do it. And she comes in, and in front of all our members, she recites Psalm 119, and we did have the PowerPoint with all the verses on Psalm 119, because we wanted to make sure that she memorized it correctly. This is what happened. Not only that she recited the whole chapter in front of us, she was so fast, the person who was clicking the PowerPoint couldn't follow her. That became a motivation, and we held that Bible memory contest again. And this time we had 3 who memorized the whole chapter. So we had to buy 2 more iPods for that. I'm a person who's always guilty because I started this and I hardly memorize this. But what I'm trying to tell you is that desire has to be transplanted in our heart to listen and learn God's language. It starts with this. How can a young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. We live in a life and a world that is not pure. And by default, even though we are cleansed by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus Christ, we are stained. We cannot keep ourselves clean. And in this world, the only way for us to keep us holy is to continue to be led by the Word of God. So what the psalmist who knows why it is important for him to read the Word says, "With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you." But it does not stop there. It's not only that we read the Bible because we don't want to sin. By reading the Bible, we get to learn God's voice and listen and follow God's ways. And with that heart, I hope that that heart becomes yours. And I hope that you will interact with the Bible in a much dynamic way. So in that mind, I wanted to share five ways to study the Bible. Five ways that is actually derived from Psalm 119. The first way would be, let me just do this. On verse 12, it says, "Blessed are you, Lord. Teach me your statutes." We might have some teachers here, and I would like to ask, how do you learn? The main way of us learning in school is we first have to read the book, and then what do? We listen to our teachers, right? In the same way, verse 12, when it says, "Teach your statutes," we have to start with reading the word. How often do you read your Bible? I know that a lot of people already have a regular habit of reading their Bible, but there is a certain aspect that we have to make it a first priority in our lives. This Bible has to be something that is attached to me so much that I constantly take time. And even though in the business of our lives, of course, even for me, if I don't do it in the first time in the morning, just time takes over and I just forget to do it, I still have to treasure the word. So I always bring it in my bag, in my backpack. And I am not a big fan of pew Bibles. I'll just say it up front. I believe pew Bible is a great concept. It's a great concept for new believers. It's a great concept for visitors. But for members, I don't think pew Bible is mine. If I carry my Bible, why would I need a pew Bible? Pew Bible is a hospitality for us to welcome people. It shouldn't be the ones who already committed their lives to follow God. So reading the Bible is very important. Listening to the Bible is also important. It's not that we need to have an audio CD of the Bible, but listening is the interpreted word that is shared. It could be your sermon. It could be my sermon. But I believe that my sermon is not mine. It is the word that is translated of the story. It could be a sharing that you hear, a story that you hear from your small group, because that word that is translated, God's story translated into ours, is very important that we listen and we get encouraged. The third way of learning the Bible, like I said, meditating on the word and actually memorizing the word. It says on verse 13, "With my lips I declare." And in the NIV version it says, "With my lips I recount." If you want to memorize your Bible, you actually need to recite it. You need to repeat it over and over until it becomes your language. And this is what happens. When there were times where I need to pray for someone else, there is a Bible verse that is just comes out of my mouth. And I just recite that Bible word. And that person comes back and says, "That spoke to my heart so strongly. It was as if God was speaking to me." God uses your lips. when you recite God's words. It is also applying God's word. Whenever you listen to God's word, there is a certain act that you need to act on to follow the decrees. And the fifth one would be meditating on God's word. Like it says in verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. So summarizing the five ways of reading the Bible, I want to introduce it into a terms of sensory. With our eyes, we read the Bible. With our ears, we listen to God's word that is proclaimed not only through the pulpit, but through people and the relationship that we have with one another. With our mouth, we recite the Bible. We actually retell the Bible in our small group so people can listen. And then with our heart, we meditate. And with our hand, we apply and we act. And we serve according to that word. Once that becomes a habit in your life, I believe you will be able to learn God's language better. And I do want to tell some of the, I'll give you this guideline of how to read the Bible. We are called Methodists. And actually, humans are all creatures of habit. And we need some kind of habit. And I would like to share a couple ways of putting God's word in our life in the first priority by reading it, listening to it, by meditating on it, by reciting it, and by acting onto it. First one is, as we were sharing in the past couple weeks, put it the first thing in your day. Whether your day starts at 5 o'clock in the morning, whether your day starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, whether your day starts at 1 p.m. in the morning, believe it or not, there's a lot of people who do that, make it the first thing of your day. Another thing is, before you read the Bible, pray and ask if God, what God wants you to hear from the word and the time that you share, you read the word. And then use some kind of system to read the Bible. That's the reason why we have our bulletin and we have a reading schedule in the back of, inside of it. And please do not recycle this anymore. Put it in your Bible. Put it in front of it so you can check upon it and see whether or not you're reading on it. Let me share my practice. This is not to boast. Oh, let me just share one more thing. Upper Room is another great resource that you can use. And when you do it, just please do this. Do not read. Just read from the word, read from what people had shared. Please read the word and the scripture before it. And let me just share what I do as my discipline. It's not to boast, but it's to give you some ideas of what would be a systematic way of reading the Bible. I read the Bible. The first thing that I do is open to Proverbs, because Proverbs has 31 chapters. And what you can do for the Proverbs is you can read one chapter a day. Today is the 20th, so guess where I read? Chapter 20. After I'm done with Proverbs chapter 20, I go to Psalms, right? Because Psalms has 150 chapters, 150 Psalms, and if you read 5 Psalms a day, you'll be able to read the whole Psalms in a month, right? So guess where I read today? Psalm 96 to 100. And then I go to the Old Testament because I read one chapter from the Old Testament. And then I go to the New Testament and I read one chapter from the New Testament. And then I go to our Bible reading and I read and meditate. I might have to start reading and meditating on the Upper Room. Oh, wow. Am I here to boast of what I do? No. I just wanted to give you some ideas. And even with all of this, it doesn't take more than 30 minutes a day from my time. And I know if I don't do this, my day, my spirituality deteriorates so much. I start to do things my own way instead of following God's way. I start to do things on my own thoughts instead of listening to God's thoughts. And if I can do it, all of this in 30 minutes, if you just pick and choose one way of doing it, I believe it will take less than 5 to 10 minutes a day. And isn't God worth it, worth enough for us to commit that time. And if we do that, what happens is we get invited into this journey of communing with God, that we hear God's voice much clearer. And there will be that subtle moment that you hear God's voice that is so clear that God wants you to go and pick that kimchi or serve that other person and see how God will use you as a pipeline of God's blessing. It's like a marriage. What is a marriage? Marriage is a covenant between two people that they do not emphasize on their own will. They surrender their will to get to find a way to follow and live in harmony and partnership in this world. And I always admire the people who are married for more than 60 years. They hardly talk, because they already know each other's intention. Your will becomes my will, and my will becomes yours. And wouldn't it be awesome if our relationship with God would be like that? That God's wills become mine, and my will becomes God. And whatever I do, God will be glorified through that action. It's like that relationship. And when we are able to live in that kind of relationship, in that journey, and in that companion, the verse 16 that we had read, "I will delight in your statutes," will become alive in our lives. That the word doesn't become a burden anymore, but the word becomes a delight, because that time is when God speaks to us. So may your love grow as you read God's words. Let us have a time of prayer. Lord, be with us as we love you more. Let us understand your word, and let us learn your voice so we will be able to follow you faithfully. And through that, grow our love toward you and toward others. We thank you and pray this all in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.